Join me in turning to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We will read Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 through 27. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So ends the reading of God's holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, we are gathered at this moment in this place in your presence. You have given us access to the most holy place, and we draw near to you through the shed blood of the Lamb that was shed, that was given to us, and who shed his blood for us on the cross. And our Father in heaven, we ask that as we are approaching you, that we would hear you speak to us in your word, that you would awaken us from our slumber of sleep, and that we might hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, we pray, as we cry out to you. Grant to us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to respond. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." Jesus, in the words that we have just read, says that the one who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. How we need wisdom. And I pray that each one of us will have a sense of the importance of the moments that we spend here in this place in worshiping God and hearing His Word. Jesus said, be careful. Be careful with what you hear. We're called to account. We will be called to account on the final day of judgment for what we have done with what we hear. I'd like to begin my sermon by telling a little story about my oldest daughter, Jennifer, who is 31 years old. I think she may be 32. The years get away from me. But when she was little, around 4 or 5, we lived in an apartment complex in Jackson, Mississippi for students at seminary. And I can remember one time at Christmas, there was a little boy that she used to ride bicycles on the sidewalks that were around these apartments, and gave me great joy to see her do that. And there was a little boy whose name was Greg Foss. His father's name is Doug Foss, and he's the pastor at Hope Church in Lenox. But one Christmas, we decided we would buy Jennifer a big wheel bike. You remember those big wheel, plastic big wheel bikes? I was so excited. I went to Walmart and brought the box home, and
I tore the box apart. I took the instruction sheet, threw it to the side. Said, this can't be hard. You stick this rod through the hole, you put these clips on, and, you know, it can't be difficult at all. Little did I know that I would regret throwing those instruction sheets aside. I stuck the cap on the end of the spoke that went through the wheel, and those caps, they're made so that they don't come off. Well, I put it on too soon. There was something else I was supposed to have done before I put the caps on. So I started to pry it to try to get the cap off. I couldn't get it off. I pried harder. Finally, I smashed the wheel that was in the, that the, so it was no longer usable. And so I went back to Walmart. I had to buy two of those things that year. Only the second time, I read the instructions. And I went step by step and did it in the order that I was supposed to do it. Sometimes when we become Christians, we realize as new Christians, we have an instruction book. And we hear the gospel and we hear the word of Jesus and we rush and we're in a hurry. And we respond, but we don't necessarily take the time to listen. And to do things in the right order and to get things put together in the right way. You'll see as my sermon progresses where that illustration fits in. Jesus has just been come to the end of this sermon that he has preached, which is known to us as the Sermon on the Mount. And he's concerned in the last part of his sermon with how he will be heard. How he will be heard. And he's dealing here with the danger that exists for everyone who is within hearing distance of him, that they will hear in the wrong way and that they won't act appropriately based in response to what they have heard. He's dealing with the danger of false faith. He's dealt with this subject before. He's warned us about the fact that we may have false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He's taught us that we're to judge them not by their outward impressiveness, not with merely what we can see externally or what we hear externally, but we are to know them by their fruit, which fruit is something that bears over time. And then Jesus has warned us also that there will be those on that final day of judgment who have listened and who have acted but acted wrongly, and to come to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, and fully expect to be received into the final kingdom of Christ, and who will hear those tragic words, depart from me, for I never knew you. There is a danger that we can be self-deceived, that we think that we are Christians, when in fact we are not. That we think that we have responded, when in fact we have not. And Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house. And then verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And so now we come to this solemn time at the end of this sermon. There is great solemnity, and that's why I'm trying to impress upon each one of us the need that we have to listen, but to be careful how we listen, to make sure that we are in the category of those who hear and respond and do what Jesus is saying, and not fool ourselves or deceive ourselves into thinking that we are Christians, and when in fact we will be sadly deceived on that final day. Both of these men that Jesus describes as builders of homes, both of these men have this in common, in that they are within listening of Jesus. They are those who are in the crowd that are gathered about hearing Jesus speak. And we might say that they are members of the church. They are here, right here, this morning. Here we are. We are sitting. We are listening. We are listening to the words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to professing Christians, those who are gathered to hear him speak. But Jesus says that there are two different ways of responding to him. And there are two different kinds of men, and there are two different kinds of houses. We can see this in the responses that they make. Jesus says, on the one hand, there is the man who hears but doesn't act on what he hears. On the other hand, there is the one who responds, and responds deeply, quietly, deeply to what he hears and does. So these two different men, one hears and doesn't, and one hears and does. Two different kinds of homes. One builds a home with a foundation. The other builds a home without that foundation, or builds it on sand, as Luke puts it. The one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The foolish man is the one who is in a hurry. He is the one who, like me, I had the box. I was excited with the idea. I was confident in my abilities. I would be able to put this thing together. No sweat. I understand what's going on here. We have a wheel. We have a frame. We have this. There's a rod that goes through. No sweat. No need to follow the directions. The foolish man is one who is always in a hurry. Let's get to the point. Let's get this job done. Let's finish the task. And he's willing to take those shortcuts, whatever shortcuts need to be made. Another thing about this foolish man is that he is not only in a hurry, he's impatient. He's impatient of the details. The details, you know, like in the fine print on the direction sheet. The details. He's impatient about those instructions. Another thing about the foolish man is that he doesn't really feel the need to look too deeply into things, to do research, to check things out. He's confident in himself. He's confident in himself. Another thing about the foolish man is that he thinks that this is an easy job. And he doesn't take thought about the future. He doesn't take thought and take steps about those things that might happen to the house that he builds. He's not careful about where he builds it. And he's not careful about the foundation that he builds it on. And he doesn't think about the fact that a house that collapses under a rainstorm is of no real value anyway. It looks good for a while, but if the rains come down and the roof caves in, it's of no good. I have a particular situation in my house right now where I noticed in the rainstorm yesterday, I went outside and I noticed that the gutters were all full and the rain was pouring. It was coming off the roof, totally ignoring the gutters, and making a big pool next to the foundation, which eventually makes its way into my basement. It's important how we build. But the person who is a foolish man doesn't think about the fact, oh, it's going to rain. The storms are going to come. Will it hold up? Will it act in the way that it's supposed to? So much for the foolish man. But the wise man, The wise man, on the other hand, takes out the direction sheet. He reads the direction sheet. He follows, he notices that certain things are to be done first, second, third, and fourth, and usually there's a reason for the steps that are given. The wise man is taking his time. He's not in a big rush to get it done. And it evidences its in the fact that he's careful about where he builds the house. He's careful not to build it on sand. And in addition to taking the time, as a part of taking the time, he goes to the expense of digging a foundation. Foundations cost money. And the reason that there's not a foundation in this room right here is because it costs money. There is a foundation. It's a slab. I can remember when my house was built in New Hampshire, watching as the bulldozer came in and digging that dirt out and dumping it off to the side in the hole. And I was fascinated by the process of the wood and the way that you build the scaffolding or whatever it is that you call it, that the cement gets poured into. And all the work and the measurements that have to be made, because if your measurements are off, your walls are going to be off. If your walls aren't what the thickness they're supposed to be or at the angle that they're supposed to be, everything can be off. So the foundation, you see, takes a great deal of time and expense. If you're in a hurry, though, your tendency is to do it quick and to do it the easy way. And Jesus says that the wise man is one who takes care and is attentive to the details and doing things so that they last. He weighs where he builds the house. And he doesn't build it on sand. He builds it on a properly constructed foundation. Because why? This house is representative of each eternal soul. You see, you and I have been created by God, and we are eternal beings. We have been made in His image, and our lives, and the decisions that we make, and the way in which we go about living our lives are crucial. The decisions we make, they count for eternity. We see then the difference between these houses. We see that on the one hand we see these men and how different they are and how they go about the building process. But we can see also the difference in the houses. The difference is not in that. The first thing I want us to see about the difference is it's not in the things that are visible. It's not in the things that are visible. The difference is not immediately apparent. Both of these homes look the same from the outside. That's a great deal of what the point that Jesus is trying to make here. These two men are building homes, and they both are built they look the same. The part that is different is the part that can't be seen. It is the part that only time reveals. Once there was a builder of homes, and he would build homes and developments. But he had a conscience about the way that he built, and he wanted to build good quality homes with solid foundations and strong walls with good insulation. And he paid attention to the details, and those details that could not be seen with the naked eye. The other builders that were building the homes in the development, however, were more concerned with getting the jobs when they bid on them. If you've ever been related to or known someone who has had to bid on jobs, bidding on jobs is a harrowing experience. there are many who bid on these jobs, and they factor in the building materials that are going to be required. And it all affects the bottom line in terms of the price that is going to be paid.
If you're building homes and you want to get the job, if the thing that is most important to you is to get the job, then you're going to cut corners. And most likely you will cut the corners in the areas that cannot be seen. And so this person was competing against home builders who were willing to do that. They put the money and they put the cost into the frills, into the decorations that would attract the attention of the buyers. Finally, this person realized that he could not continue to be a builder of homes and keep his conscience and get the jobs. And so he stopped building. Years later, he went back to this development that he had bid on. And he drove around, and the time had done its work. It now looked like slum houses, who had gone into great disrepair. And here's the point. And this is the point of Jesus' parable about the houses built on foundation and those houses that are not. When we don't pay attention, when we don't pay attention to the things that are hidden, the time comes when that which is hidden will be revealed. When we don't pay attention to the things that are not seen, the time comes when what is not seen is revealed. If you think and remember about most of the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what Jesus' teaching was on the giving of alms, on fasting, and on prayer. Do you remember how the focus in each one of those was on what is done in secret before God? Each one of you, and I myself, I have an eternal soul. And there is that which I present to the public. And there is that which is known by you and your own and your Maker and God Himself. And it is not seen. It is not known, but it is known by God. When we don't pay attention to the things that are hidden, the time comes when that which is hidden is revealed. Sometimes we are too much in a hurry to get the job done, and we don't give consideration to the means that we must employ, the work that must be done, the self-examination. We're interested only in the superficial and what others see, but which is not of concern primarily to Jesus. Jesus is concerned with you and your soul. He's concerned with your life, and He's concerned with the relationship that you have with Him. When we apply all of this in a spiritual sense, here are some things that I think we can think about. When it comes to the spiritual life, when it comes to our relationship with God, we don't want to be in a hurry. We want to let that which we hear seep into our minds, to think and to turn things over and to give time to consider. We don't want to be in a hurry when it comes to spiritual things. Neither do we want to only go and to think about and to respond to those things that are attracted to the natural eye. There are those things that tend to appeal to us. What does not appeal to us are those things that where the finger is put on our particular sin and guilt. and our need to repent, and the fact that we will face a holy God. You see, most people don't want to suffer in hell. Most people want to be good people. And most people want to have a good opinion of themselves. And they want to believe that God is gracious and will forgive them. But that's exactly the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about when he's talking about building a house. It's superficial. It's a superficial understanding of things that doesn't really get to the heart of it. And the heart of it is, at this moment, at this time, in my soul, I am lost and barren and without God in his intervening grace, I am doomed. The one who hears Jesus, but hears him in a superficial way, he responds to those things that are appealing to him and does not like to think about his own sin and his need for repentance. He also tends to respond to things that he can easily do, practical stuff. Give me the things that I can go home and do. I don't want to think so much about the intricacies, the difficult subjects. Give me something to do. That's the kind of way in which someone who hears Jesus tends to, in a natural way, tends to think. A person who hears Jesus in a superficial way is also someone who wants the blessing. He wants the blessings of the gospel. But there's a great difference between wanting what God can give and wanting God. You see the difference? It's the difference between having a relationship with God himself and just wanting to have it said to you that you are blessed. It is one thing to receive what God gives. It is another thing to have a relationship with God. It is one thing to know that blessings come through Christ, and it is another thing to want more of Christ. It is one thing to want forgiveness. It is another thing to want to know more of the glories of Jesus Christ. It is one thing to want blessing, and it is another thing to want the intimate fellowship with Christ that I am lacking at this time. It is one thing to want what the gospel offers. It is another thing to want to see and to meditate and to worship a glorious Christ in the gospel. A person who hears Jesus in a superficial way is someone who builds his house without a foundation. He's interested in the broad strokes. He's impatient with the fine details. Give me the broad strokes. Give me what I need to know to get the job done, to move on to the next thing. It is always moving on to the next thing. But to hear Christ in a saving way is something altogether different. It is to hear him and to be convinced of my need, and that he, and he alone, not what he gives me, but he in himself, that he will satisfy my need. Our great problem is that we are those who feel that there is something out there, there is someone out there that will satisfy me. But we need to know that it is only Christ that will satisfy. And it is knowing Christ, not about Christ, but it is knowing him and communing with him and fellowship with him, you see. The one who responds to Christ superficially will not see a great need, as I've said, for deep instruction. And he's not going to necessarily expend much time in the study of the Scriptures. He has no appetite for it. You never see this person rearranging their schedule so they can attend Bible study or Sunday school.
as long as they can get the minimum that is required to get to heaven and to know that they're going to heaven, that they're okay. But Jesus is saying that that's not okay. And that's the point of this parable. It's the same thing that James says when he says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and he goes away and he at once forgets. You see? Jesus is saying, don't be foolish. Don't be someone who builds a house in a hurry. Don't be someone who is not concerned with building upon a proper foundation. So we've seen then the contrast between these two men. We've seen the contrast between the houses that they've built. And now we see a contrast between the houses when they are struck with the storm. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, because it had been founded upon a rock. On the other hand, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell. What are these things? Jesus uses the rain, and the floods, and the winds to speak about the trials, the afflictions, in the storms of life, difficulty, loss, loss of loved ones, loss of friendships, betrayal by those that we put our trust in, disappointments in relationships. And of course, for the early Christians and for Christians today living in parts of the world, persecution for taking a stand for Jesus Christ. The onset also, I think, included in this is the onset of old age. These things strike at the very center and the core of our lives, and they sift us. And they sift us in terms of what our house is built upon. A house that's built on Jesus Christ. A house in which our affections, a person's heart and his affections are set upon Jesus Christ. Difficulties come, and the storms beat against the house, but Jesus Christ remains the same today and forever, and His promises are true. Whatever betrayals, whatever afflictions, whatever difficulties you face, if the house falls, what does that say? If we fall apart, what does that say about what our life is built upon? You see? Afflictions come. Hardships come. And sometimes they come in such a way that shatter us and blow us in a million pieces. Emotionally speaking. But through it all, for the one who has experienced those kinds of life-impacting hardships, Jesus Christ is the one center and focus and the foundation upon which I am building my life. It is not so-and-so. It is not so-and-so, and it is not such-and-such that holds my life together. It is Jesus. And it is the gospel, and it is His shed blood, and it is His triumph over my death, and it is His ascension to the right hand of the Father. It is Jesus
that I am building my life upon. No other foundation can be laid, Paul says, than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you dealing with something right now in your life? Fear grips you. You're struggling. You're not sure if it's going to stay together. I'm asking you to consider what Jesus is saying. Ask yourself this question. Am I a wise man or am I a foolish man? What kind of a builder have I been? How have I been going about this business of being a Christian? Is my faith in people? Is my trust in other people? Am I counting on them coming through for me? If it is, I guarantee you, they're going to move away. Something is going to change in the situation, and they will no longer be there. But Jesus Christ, who is God, He is the eternal God. He never fails. He is God and man in His Godhead, you see, upholds and is united to His manhood. And because He is God, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, triumphant over death. Because He is God and at the Father's right hand, whatever struggle you are in the midst of, He will bring you through it and you will triumph. You will get through it because of the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ at work in your life. It is Him, you see. It is Christ. Peter was out in the boat. Jesus said to him, "Step out." Jesus is walking on the water and He invites Peter to step out and to walk on the water and to come to Him. And what does Peter do? He steps out. He's got his eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And then immediately he turns his eyes and he looks at the waves and he begins to sink. And our lives are like that. If you're looking at people, if your trust is in circumstances, if your trust is in your finances or whatever, or in a person that you think that you're counting on to come through for you, it is like trusting in the waves. They become turbulent, the winds blow, and the storms beat, and the storms come. And they come to each one of us in different ways. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep focused upon Him. Because Jesus said, there are two kinds of people. There is a wise man who hears these words of mine and does them. He's not saying this is a matter of salvation by works. But He's saying that the Word of God is a reality in them. He lives upon Christ. He feeds upon Christ. He hungers for Christ. He longs for Christ. Not for what Christ will give him, but for Jesus Christ Himself. For the one who hears these words and does them, he's building his life on the one foundation that can never be moved. And that foundation lasts for all eternity. You are an immortal soul. You are a person that has been created by God, and you will live forever. And Jesus said to you, as He said in this sermon, He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Be careful how you spend your money. Be careful how you build. All of these things, it has to do with your eternal well-being and your life. An eternity. You have an immortal soul. I will never forget how I was struck by this. I was struck by this more when I had my first child than I ever did. Was struck by it when I just my own thinking about myself. The thought that God would entrust another life to me, to raise and to nurture for Jesus Christ. It shook me to my core, and I was experiencing, I know what every parent who becomes a parent, when you first become a parent, that's what happens. All of a sudden, life becomes very, very serious. It becomes very, very serious. Why? Because this is a life that will live in eternity, either in everlasting misery or everlasting joy, largely influenced by your example and by your teaching. And that shook me to my core. What Jesus is trying to do here in this sermon is he's trying to shake us to our core. He's trying to get us to see, be careful. You might be deceived. You might think that you're hearing. And that hearing is enough. But he says, Blessed is the one who hears and does. And the doing is not a matter of doing things and checking off boxes. It's a matter of a life lived in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ in that way? The answer to that question is hidden from everyone else, but it is known to you and it is known to God. What is the status of your soul? Where are you right now in relationship to Jesus Christ? Are you building upon Him?
Is He the foundation? Oh, the winds come. The winds come and the storms come.
But only that life that is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and not the knowledge about Him, but Jesus Himself, will last through the storms of judgment, storms of affliction, and the storms of that final day, that final judgment, when the Word of God will look through you. There will be no more shirking, no more going in the other direction, no more finding something else to do, no more changing the subject, no more excuses. That day will be a final day. That final storm through which you must pass, the storm of the wrath of God, the storm of final judgment. On that day, there will be no place to run. But on that day, the one who has built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ will not be put to shame. Just as the Israelites who painted the blood over their doorposts and the angel of death went through the streets of Egypt and killed every one of the firstborn of Egypt, the Israelites who painted that blood were protected. And so it is for everyone who has savingly and truly put their trust in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ protects us from the wrath that is coming upon the world. Is that where you are today? Have you come to the place in your life where you've seen that this is important? Eternal issues are at stake. Be careful. Be careful here that you don't deceive yourself. Make sure that you're building upon the foundation of Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we ask that you, by your Spirit, would take these words and that you would convict us of our need to stand before you, to be honest and to be truthful about our relationship with you, to repent of our sin, to turn away from it, and to seek after you and your grace and your mercy in Christ with our whole heart. O Father, grant to us repentance,
grant to us a great turning, a turning from ourselves and a turning to Christ. May He be our all in all. We ask, Father, these things in Jesus' name. Amen.